Good morning. A few days ago, on my way into First Seder, a doctor who learns in yeshiva in the mornings stopped me, and he wanted to know whether, the case is not so relevant, but there was a person stole $20, and he swapped this $20 with another $20 bill, and he wanted to know what happens when is money fungible? Can you swap one bill for another? How does halacha view this kind of transaction? So I told him that this really depends on whether harvesting organs is mutter. Now he looked at me a little bit funny. He did not seem to catch my Talmudic logic. And hopefully today we will go through a bit of the sugya and we'll understand what the connection is between harvesting organs and swapping money, or whether money is fungible. So to begin with, last week we discussed the idea that a goyzel, that someone who steals either to be mitzayer someone, or if you steal less than a shava pruta, you're over an iser gzeila. Less than a pruta is pachus mishir, there's no chiyav hashava. But nevertheless, chatz yishir is asur midaraisa, there is an iser to steal even a minimal amount. Now that being said, in Simin Shinun test, the Mechaber writes, immediately after explaining that it's asur to steal even a kolshu, any amount, whether from a yid or from a goy, the Mechaber continues, v'imhudavar deleka man dekapit bey, if you're taking something that no one cares about, shari, it's mutter. Kigoyin lito me'achad vilo oy me'hageder lachtes boy shinov. Person needs like a toothpick or a splinter in order to clean out his teeth. So he's allowed to take off a splinter from a pile of wood or from a fence. There is no iser gzeila. This is something that absolutely no one is makban on. Nevertheless, even though it's mutter, he says, v'yavzeh iser v'yushalmi midas chasidus. Even here the Yushalmi is machmer and says, as a midas chasidus, a person should not do this. The Sma explains the reason for this midas chasidus is that although there's really no reason not to take the splinter because no one cares about it, but if everyone hears this halacha and everyone decides to go ahead and start taking splinters, before you know it, the whole fence will be gone. And therefore, because this could be bali de takala, if people take too many liberties, even on this minimal amount, as a midas chasidus, it should not be done, but nigger hadin, it is mutter. Now, we touched upon this halacha, actually, we discussed in the sugya of Zanev Zele Chazer, we were talking about using someone's Wi-Fi connection. So it is very likely that if we were discussing then, it's a Zanene, perhaps it's a Zeh Chazer, because you're using some minimal amount of electricity or bandwidth. L'chayra, if it's something that there's really no material difference in either his monthly electric bill or his ability to use his connection, arguably, it would be doima to taking this splinter from a piece of wood, and it would be mutter. Now, you have to be careful. If you decide to back up your hard drive and use his connection, so clearly that is different. Clearly, now he has a hefsid because you are clogging up his bandwidth. It will slow down his connection. But if you want to just, use it for a moment to check your email, then it's very likely it falls into this halacha and something that people are not makbid, and it will be mutter. You still do have this midas chasidus, because if everyone, especially everyone Jewish, finds out you can use someone else's connection in order to check your email, you'll have the entire block logging on to your connection through your router to check their emails, and collectively it will certainly slow it down. But at least in theory, if you're doing, there is a minimal loss, people are not makbid, then it would be mutter mikar hadin. I think a very practical application of this is if you need to write something and there's a pen lying around. Technically speaking, if you use someone's pen, it is a shoyel shlo midas, and more than that, you're using his ink. There is some amount of value that's being used up. However, I think using the amount of ink that is used to sign a check or to write some notes, that is something that no one is makbid on, and therefore there would not be an iser of gezel. Don't walk off with a pen, but just to use it to scribble something or to write something, I think would be included in this halacha, and it would be mutter that you would not have an iser of gzeil. So this is the first category. Something which no one is makbid on, even though it has some value, it's mutter, there's no din. There's no issur of gzela. What happens if it's something which has more value? The next level. It has more value, but it's ragel for it to happen. And, for example, if anyone here remembers from when we went through the halachos of Hilchos Tzedakah, so the halacha is that a gabbai tzedakah cannot accept a donation from a married woman. And the issue is the money that she has is presumed to belong to the husband, and she doesn't have the right to take liberties and start being generous with her husband's money. Nevertheless, the halacha is a davar mu'ah, a minimal amount is mutter. And the reason for that is kach nagu. Everyone knows, the husband knows when he leaves the house and his wife has the checkbook, that if someone goes around collecting, she'll give a few dollars to a person. That's the minhag ha'olam, and it's understood, it's accepted by husbands, unless they specifically make a macha. And therefore, because it's a minhag to do such a thing, there is no iser gezel. Another example is if you're sitting at a suda and your son comes in, even though technically you were the one that was invited to the chasana, your child was not invited. Nevertheless, it is mutter for a guest to take something from the table and hand it to his son or to an eved that passes by. We don't look at it as, even though technically you're taking something that does not belong to you, but because kach nagu, this is the minhag, this is the derech ha'olam, when you get invited, it's understood, and therefore it would be mutter. Okay, each case you'll have to apply on your own. What? No, we're not talking about inviting them and having them sit down and have a steak. We're talking about when your child comes to meet you at the chasana and you give him a cookie. So that's something, if people come and go, it's kach nagu and it's mutter. Now the same kinds of svara would apply if you're in someone's house for Shabbos. Shabbos morning you get up and you want a coffee. Mistama, even if you don't specifically ask for permission, it's understood. You have a guest, and they're going to wake up in the morning. They'll probably help themselves to a coffee. When they invite you in, it's a daitu dahachi. And in this kind of case, where it's across the board, that would probably be mutter. Now, these are cases with kach nagu. It's maisim b'chol yoyim. It happens regularly. Everyone understands that when mishalachim come around, the wife will give a few dollars, and therefore it's accepted, and therefore there's no iser gezel. What happens in a slightly different case? You're passing by a neighborhood. You have an old friend that lives there. You knock on his door to stop to visit him. He's not home. You're hungry. The door is open. You let yourself in. And you help yourself to something in the refrigerator. Now, you know good and well, when he comes home, he's going to be very happy. He's not going to be upset. He's very happy for you that you're close enough, you're comfortable enough that you're helping yourself to something in the refrigerator. On the other hand, there's certainly no minhug to walk into your friend's house and eat sushi with it when he's not there. It's not a minhug that I'm aware of. Is it mutter to do this? So for this, we have to learn a taisus in the sugya of Yish Lomidas. Because the definition of minhug is something that happens regularly. Minhag is nohag. It's something that happens regularly. Something that only happens on occasion, even though we may have an umdana that he'll agree, but we certainly can't say there's a minhag. When you invite a guest, it's adait dachi, you know good and well that if he likes coffee, he's going to help himself to a coffee. Or if a guest is at a table and his kid walks in, you know good and well the norm is to give them a cookie. It is not normal for someone to not, come to your house when you're not there and eat sushi. So, which way? So for this, we have to go through a sugya of Yish Lamidas. Now, we all know Yish Lamidas. It's usually one of the first lumdish sugyas that many of us have learned back in fifth grade in Elul Metzias. If a person loses an aveda, if it has a simen, you have to be machriz it. If it has no simen, there's no way to return it to the owner, so then when the owner realizes it's gone, he's going to be miayish, he's going to give up, it will become hefker. The question is, what happens if a person loses something without a siman? When he realizes it's gone, he's going to be miyayish. He's going to give up. There's no way to recover it. However, you find it before he notices it's gone. So it's a case, was he miyayish yet in practice? No. He doesn't know that he lost it yet. Will he be miyayish when he realizes it? Certainly. What is halacha today? Can you keep it? Do we say it's because he will be miyayish this yish today? Or do we say no? The yishir is when he actually finds out, when he, in practice, realizes it is miyayish. At that point, it's hefker. Today, it's not, and therefore, there's a chiyav hashav. This is machlokes yish lemidas. Have a yish, loy have a yish. We hold, we pass like abaya. Yish lemidas, loy have a yish. Taisvis, in that sugya, discusses a case where there were three amayroim. They went to visit someone in his orchard. He was not home. His aris went ahead and served them some food. So two of the amayroim ate. The third one refused to eat. And the Gemara goes to a shakar v'tayah. Freptosis. What? Why did the two amayroim eat? The aris was giving away the baal bayis's food. He didn't have the right to do that. Now it's true that they may have. Don't tell me the reason why they ate the fruit is because they knew good and well that this baal bayis was their friend, and when he found out they were here, that they were here and they were being served, he'd be very happy that they ate the fruit. So Tezis, you can't say that because we pass in yish lemidas lehav yish. So even though we know that when the owner realizes, he'll be happy you ate the fruit. But since right now the owner doesn't know, so I'll tell you, there would be an Isser Gzela to go ahead and eat today. So Taisus is very clearly paskening that if you walk into someone's house, even though you know that had they known you were here, they'd be very happy for you to help yourself to the sushi. Nevertheless, because they're not here, they don't know about it, they never gave you permission, Taisus says this is going to be awesome. So l'chari the difference is, by kach nagu, it's a much higher level. Because it happens, it's ma'isim b'chol yoyim, people know it, and they accept it. When a person gets married, he leaves his wife at home with the checkbook, he knows, kach nagu, when people come, you give them a few dollars. So unless he makes the malcha, he is accepting it. And the same thing is true by a suda. Because it happens all the time, he realizes it, it's yish midas, it's not yish shalom midas. It's as if he gave explicit permission. It's only in the case of the aris, where it is not typical for three amayram one day to appear in your aris and sit down for a meal. So there's no kach nagu. Here it's just a question of we know that's what he would have preferred. That, Taisi says, it depends on the sugya of yish shalom midas, and therefore it's going to be us. Amiram, we're reading it. There's no shinur. I mean, there is a concept of yish and shinur rishos, but over here there's no yish. He doesn't know about it. So if a goslin takes your fruit and hands it to someone else, that person knows that it is stolen. They're both goslin.
Why was he not betrothed?
Because he was okay. An aris's job is to plant the field, to plow to work the field. He's not the person's general manager or is in charge of the kitchen. So this was an unusual circumstance where someone came to visit, and the aris, his job is not to entertain the guests. He just saw them. He realized the owner would want to feed them, and therefore he took the liberty to give them the food, and that would be awesome.
So what the housekeeper, three rabbanim walk into your house, and the housekeeper knows that if these people were here, I mean, I would be very upset if my housekeeper would not give them to eat.
Okay, so very upset. You just changed the case a little bit. We'll get back to your point as an Erech Shai that makes that point. But with the housekeeper's job is to serve guests and to give it away. But if the housekeeper is just there to clean or something, and she takes the liberty and she realizes correctly that you'd be very happy, but the bottom line is today she's stealing. What gives her the right to make these decisions simply because if you know about it, if she wants to...
The very
upset we'll get to, but putting that aside, Taisus is talking about a case. This aris, wait a second, the aris guessed right. He was right. Wait a second, but he. Oh, okay. If the housekeeper's job is to, if part of her job is to give out the food, then you're certainly right. Then you don't need this svara because that's her job. And when I tell her you make decisions, you have a manager of a store. So even though he doesn't own the store, he's supposed to make certain decisions to keep customers happy. And if he wants to be moichel, you don't have to come out to Yish Lamidas, because that's his job. But you have to look, is this the housekeeper's job or not? And it's only if that's the job. On the other hand, let's say you're not home, your son's home. Your married son is in the house. And the Rosh Hashiva knocks on the door. Now we're back to Taisus. Taisus says, although certainly you would have wanted to do it, it's Yir Shlemi Das. And without permission, then you can't do it.
What does Taisus do with the two
Amirot? It's going to be awesome. Now, this is the Shita of Taisus. The Shach argues. The Shach says that this is very different than Yir Shlemi Das. And there are different ways of explaining it. I'll go through briefly two svaras. It says like this. In the case of Yir Shlemi Das, before a person's Miyayish, who does it belong? It belongs to the owner. Yish is a din. When you're yish, you're being mafkir the item. So it's true, the moment it gets lost, we know good and well, by tomorrow at this time, you're going to be miyayish. Because as soon as you realize it's gone, you're going to be miyayish. But is it hefker today? It's not hefker today. Today there's no yish. Today it still belongs to the person. So for someone who finds it to go ahead and pick it up and put it in his pocket, that's awesome. The mitzvah of Hashavas Veda is still there. However, Zekne Nesivos, in the case of the Oris, in that case, do we need a chalois? If you walk into someone's house, normally, if you walk into someone's kitchen and you eat his sushi, you're a gazlan. If he's not makbid on his sushi, he's perfectly okay with you eating it. Does he have to make a kinyan? Does he have to be mafgir it in order for you to be able to eat it? No, it's not a chalois, it's not a din. Just taking something where the owner doesn't care is not an issur of gzela. Zakhni Nesivas, if we're dealing with a case of Aveda in the sugya of Yishlami Das, where we need to make it hefker, you need actual yish. Knowing tomorrow there'll be yish doesn't make it hefker today. Masha Enkein, if you're eating someone's food, as long as you know he doesn't care, or is not makbid. So it's true, he doesn't know you're here. He doesn't know anything. But it's not gezela since he has no objection to you eating it. There's no din, there's no chalois that has to be chal. And therefore, the fact that we know we're oimdin daite, and we are sure that he's happy, that he doesn't have a kepeda, you don't need anything more than that to avoid the isser of gezela.
The umdina demuchach will take away the yishlamidas?
No, it'll take away the isser gezel. There's no iser gezel to take something from someone when he's not makbid, whether or not he knows about it. But the fact that he will be miayish tomorrow doesn't make it hefker today. You know, it's in one case we need to create a hefker. We have to do something, and we can't do something today simply because it will happen tomorrow. When it happens. But today there's no yish, so today it still belongs to him as a chiyav hashava. However, in the context of the iser gezel is to take something where you're taking it bar karcha, where the person has a kepeda. If he doesn't have a kepeda, whether or not he's aware of what's happening right now, there's no iser gzeila. This is the shach's chiddush. He's arguing on a taisus. The Ran group says b'shem the Rajba, a similar pshat in the like the shach, except the Rajba shells to minog. But that's so this is the shita of the shach. Taisus says that you cannot take it simply because he'll be maskim. The shach holds it'll be mutter. There's another explanation is that in the case of Yish, no one wants to be Miyayish. No one today is Nicho. He doesn't want to be Miyayish. When he finds out it's lost, he will be Miyayish Balkarcha because the reality is he won't get it back. Masha Enkein, in the case of the Oris, or with your friend, it's not just a question that it will you're resigned to it. You actively want the person to take it. So in that case, that's another svar, another pshat in the Shach, why even though Yishlami Das doesn't work, that's when you're being forced. When you're doing something against your will, it only works when you're actually Miyayish. When there's a Nechusa, when that's what you want, they're ready, it will work earlier. So this is the Machloikis, Shach, and Taisvis. There are Achroinim on both ends. However, Roif Paiskim seem to be Machmir like Taisvis. Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan, all are Machriya, not like the Shach. And they all say, in such a case, even though you know the person will be okay later on, it's also to take something without getting permission. Now, there is a third, an Erech Shai, which makes a beautiful point. I don't think all the Achronim are asking to it, but it's a beautiful Svara. Because we all know there's a concept of Zachon L'Adam Shalai B'Fonov. If you find a diamond in the street, you pick it up, you have Das to be coined for someone. So even though normally you need das, you have to make a kinyan. But zach l'adam shalai b'fanav, if it's good for the person, you can pick it up, you can be zoich in it for him. Now we do find, although this is more of a shaylo, but we do find cases where zach in me'adam. If you're watching someone's chametz, It's an hour before the Zman and the Erev Pesach. If you nothing, you know in an hour from now it will become Asur Bahana. The halacha is, you're allowed to, and perhaps there's even a chiyuv for you to sell the chametz to a guy in order to avoid being over the Isser of chametz. Right. Now in that case, you're selling his chametz. He never asked you to sell his chametz. What gives you the right to sell someone else's item? The answer is, it's a schus for him. Since it's at the last moment and it's at the point of no return, if it's not sold, it will be asur b'hana, he'll have nothing. So, al zochim la'adam shalei b'fanav, you'll have the right to take the liberty and go ahead and to sell his chametz.
You have to make a kinyan now?
What?
You have to make a kinyan?
I don't think so. It's like a shlichus. And in this svarog, I don't want to go into Hilchos Pesach, but I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that Bezin should really go ahead and sell the chametz for all the fry yidden out there, all the stores that are open on Pesach. You can sell the chametz for them. Again, there it's a shy because now they'll be over in Mr. Gezel because they're going to continue doing business on Pesach. That's another shmuz. But at least conceptually, we see that according to many Peskim, Zochin also works when you're selling, not just when you're giving to someone, but in cases where it's a clear benefit to take away, the concept of Zochin la'adam, Zochin me'adam would apply as well. Zoch erich shai. Let's take the next case. Let's say you have an item and someone comes and says, I'll buy it for $3 million. Much more than its value. It is clearly a schus for the person to sell it. Zog v'yeruch shai, in such a case, where it's clearly a schus, forget about the sugya of yish lemidas, have yish, loy have yish, forget this whole sugya. Zochin l'adam shalei b'fanav. You're allowed to enter into that transaction because he wants it, it's good for him. So as long as it's clearly a schus, and when it is and what isn't, we'll discuss that soon, but if it's a clear schus, those are the facts, you have the right to do that. Zog the Erech Shai, let's go back to our Shaila. You have a guest that stops by the house. So he's gonna help himself to some food in the refrigerator. The case of Tosfos is where the owner comes, he won't be makbid. That means he doesn't care, he doesn't mind, he doesn't consider you a goslin. Had you been here, he would give it to you. That case, we have machlekes teizol, it's aser, shachol, it's motor. There we have a machlekes. But what would be in a case where it's not just a nichusa? It's not just he won't be upset you took his sushi. We're in a case where he wants it to happen. There's a Rosh Hashiva, there's someone who came to the house where if he finds out that this person was in the neighborhood and you weren't home, so he went across the street and got food from there, you'd be upset. It's not just you're okay with it. You actively want it to happen. Zog the Erech Shai, in that case, we have Zoch, it's a schos. If it's a schos, Zochim v'adam shalai b'fanov is not totally in the sugi of Yish Lemidas. And he says, in that case, even according to Tosfos, it would be mutter. So we would have to look at each case and figure out if it's a case where when a guest comes, where if he's here and he asks for it, you'll give it to him. But had he not come, you'd be just as happy. You wouldn't be upset if he went to the neighbor and stayed by him and got the food by him. Then that's a sugi of Yish Lemidas. There we have to be machmer like Tosfos. However, if your son is in the neighborhood and he tells you that, you know, Dad, I was in the neighborhood, I was thirsty, but you weren't home, so instead I went to the gas station and bought a soda. You'll be upset. Well, what is this? You should have stopped buying. You should have taken. So in that case, where it's something that you, it's not just you'll accept, but you actively want, you consider it a schus for yourself. There, the Erech Shai says this whole Indian won't apply, and here everyone would agree there would be mutter l'chanchila to go ahead and to take it. Yeah, because Nichele, we'll get to in a moment, that we generally only say that by a she'ela where there's no hefzid. Here we're talking about a hefzid. He's eating your food. So this is a much bigger svara where it's zochin la'adam shalai b'fanav.
In the case of
Azuk,
it seems to disprove this because you see in the Gemara that he was very upset. He was upset that he
wasn't so upset. Wait, wasn't so upset. He said, why do you give better? And then the Gemara has a shock of attire whether he really meant it or he was just embarrassed. But even in that, that's a case. Once he's here, there won't be a kapeda. This is what he will do. This is the polite thing to do. But had they not come, had they seen that Amar Zusher wasn't here, they would have gone across the street. Would he be upset? Did he lose a schus? Does he look at this as a lost opportunity? Zochim l'adam is a high bar. The fact that you're okay with it or you would have done it is not enough. You need that this is a schus. You're giving me something. And that's why, although it's a beautiful chiddush, but the application is fairly limited. Now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shulchan Aruch HaRav's Lashon over here, he uses a very, 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 you know, colorful language about how the person would have been happy and besimcha and a tremendous, you know, sounds like he would have been very excited had these Amoraim eaten. And still he says it's also. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav may or may not be agreeing to, may be arguing on the Erech Shai. But the Erech Shai's point, everyone agrees to the idea of Zachon Vladim Shalai Befanav. That's not a machlekes. How quick you can say that me eating this person's sushi is a schus for him? I mean, you have to be careful. It has to be a true schus for him that it rises to the level of zochen la'adam for this erech shai to apply.
We'll get to.
But I'm just saying, Dvar Mitzvah, the general rule by Dvar Mitzvah, that's talking about she'ela, and it's talking about where there's no hefse. Okay, fine. We'll get there. So that just to summarize, we have a few levels. We, in the case of Kach Noago, where everyone takes these liberties and no one is makbid, that is certainly mutter l'charchila. It's like you have rishos. In a case where it's not Kach Noago, but you know he won't be makbid, there we have a machlokes Taisvis and Shach. Taisvis says it's yishlam midas. You cannot take it. The Shach holds that there's Masada that it would be mutter. There are. It is machlokes apayiskim, but it's something that a person should be machmir on. We now have this last case of the Erech Shai, where it's not just a nechusa, where it's a active schus for him, where this is what he wants to happen, l'chadchila. There the Erech Shai is mitzad, and that would be mutzerlu, even according to Taisvis, and the person would be able to take it. Now this is all when you're taking it for good. You're eating it. It's a shayla of gezel. What about simply using an item without permission? So normally, using someone's item without permission is shalosh l'midas, has a din of a gazla. It's gzela. If you don't have permission, you're using it. It's going to be awesome. Nevertheless, the Minchas Pitim and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav both write that b'negeya this halacha, it's different. And b'negeya, if you're only borrowing something, you're going to return it. There's no hefsid mamon. He says there everyone agrees you do not have to come on to the year l'midas. And he says, there everyone would agree if the owner is not would not be makbid, you have the right to be mishtamish shaloi midaita.
A
shomer. So interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that a shomer is more chamer. He's mitzaded that the din you see from the din of shlichus yad that a shomer can't use it, and therefore even though it's something which in a stranger, and as if you're watching someone else's item, if it's something which people are not makbid, I know that I can go ahead and I can use it. But you can't. And he says, perhaps you were different because there's a cost of Shlichas Yad. I'm not specific about that. But it comes out, when you're dealing with just Hishtamshus, when you're just using something, here it's more Kal. Mistama the Pshat over here is like the Shach Svara, that certainly using something where he's not Makbid on is no Isur Gzela, and therefore it will be Mutter if you know it's that by them would be Nichole, he would be okay with you actually using it. Shulchan Aruch HaRav does make the disclaimer that you have to be very confident that the owner is really okay with you using it. He says, even if there's a roiv, most people are not makbid, but ein holchim mamon achar a roiv, you can't take something and do something which is a ma'isa gezel with the hope that he won't be makbid. It's only when you know for sure there's no suffix, then already you have the right to go ahead and to use it. So this is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. When it comes to using, that is more kal than taking. And when it comes to using, as long as there's an umzuna, it's clear that he'd be okay. You have the right to go ahead and you have the right to use it. Now, this actually leads us to the concept of using someone's chefetz for a mitzvah. Now, halacha is in Or Chaim and Siman Yud Daled that if you come to shul, you don't have your talis. So you're allowed to use someone else's talis. And the reason is it's mutav linish, there's an assumption, there's a chazaka. People are okay or want you to do a mitzvah with their money. And therefore, you have the right to use their talis. Now, that being said, there are a bunch of conditions. First of all, it applies only bakroi. You know, as you come to shul, you forgot your talis, so you can use someone else's. On the other hand, if you make the cheshbon, why should I go ahead and buy a talis? Yanko leaves his talis and tefillin in shul. He davens at the 7 o'clock meeting, and I'll show up every day at the 8 o'clock meeting, and I'll use his talis. So when it's bekfius, there already people are not quite as generous, and there's a kpeda, you cannot go ahead and use it every day. There's also halacha, this chazaka applies only when there's no chashash hefsir. If it's something which could get destroyed, even if you're going to be careful, it will be also. And therefore, it's brought down. It's also to use someone else's sefer shlemi daita, because it is ruggle for it to get ripped or for it to get worn out. Again, the poskim say that may not apply today, but at least if there's any case where there's a chashash hefsa, this will not apply. The Prima Gadim adds that because you're relying on a chazaka, you can only rely on a chazaka when there's no way to be mavar what the facts are. In other words, if the owner is not here and you want to know and you need to daven, so you can assume he's probably not makbid. Chazaka says he's not makbid. However, if the owner is around, or you can pick up the phone, you can call him, so there you have no right to rely on a chazaka when you can be mavar the metzius, and therefore the Prima Gadim says it applies only when the owner is not in shul, he's not available to ask him. Now the poskim also say this is only mutter to use it in its place. If you want to take the talis home with you or move it to another place, certainly there is a paid on that, and certainly that would be aser. On top of that, the Aruch HaShulchan says, even though in Shulchan Aruch it's mutter, he says a person should not be quick to rely on this. Today, people are istanis, they are more makbid on cleanliness and their hygiene. People do not want to wear a talis that someone that other people wore. He said many people are makbid, and therefore he says a person should not be quick. A person should not be samech on this din, since in metzius people today are very often makbid. Again, it's a metzius question. If you needed to daven, it's in the stomach, you would have the concept of the chazaka because it's you're wearing it for kavodat tefillah. On the other hand, if the metzius is people are makbid, then it'll be aser. Now, what that metzius is, you know, you can use your judgment, but it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. But the general klal is when you're borrowing, there's no hefsin mamon involved. There's an assumption people are okay with it, and as we pointed out, by she'ela, as long as you know that there's a nichusa, even though he doesn't know about it now, then it would be mutter to use it when the owner isn't there. So this is she'ela. As we mentioned, it is more kal. As long as you know the owner will not be makbid, you can take it today, even though he doesn't know. And by edvar mitzvah also, the assumption is that he's not makbid, and as long as there's no hefsid, then you have the right to go ahead and to use it. Now this leads us to the third case, which will bring us back to our doctor. And that is, we've discussed two concepts so far. Can I take something where the owner won't mind when he finds out? The second case was, can I use it when he won't mind? What happens if I want to swap something with him? The fellow has something. I want to take it and give him something else in exchange, either the equivalent or something better. Do I have the right to do that? So this is actually a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Gemara in Daf Samach. The Gemara over there was talking about a case where David HaMelech, when he was fighting with the Pelishtim, seems the Pelishtim were hiding out in fields that were full of Soirim, piles of Soirim. David HaMelech, in order to kill the Pelishtim, he wanted to simply set it on fire, destroy the Soirim. And his question was, do I have to reimburse, do I have to reimburse the owners? I'm willing to give them chitim later on. What's the halach? So there are two discussions that come out. The way Rashi understands the Gemara is it was a case of Hatzalos Nefashos. There was a war going on. The Pelishtim that were hiding were armed, and if they had to go in hand-to-hand combat, it's dangerous. What they wanted to do is, instead of going and fighting, just bomb the whole city, just burn the whole thing down, and that way, no one puts their lives in danger. On the other hand, in order to do this, you have to destroy this Sa'irim that belongs to people. Do you have the right to be matzel atzmai b'mamon chavera? Do you have the right, in order to protect yourself, to go ahead and to destroy other people's money?
I assume you're taking away the fact that he was a melech.
Yes, the answer was, it's usser, but you're a melech. Melech does what he wants. That was the terrace. But had he not been the king, his question was, can I be matzal atzmei mamon chaveri? Can I save myself by destroying other people's money? And the psak that he got was, absolutely not. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara question is, can I save myself with other people's money? And the psak was, no, but you're a king, you do what you want.
Can you save somebody else with somebody else's money?
Why should that be different?
As a roidif.
Okay, so roidif, we talk what? Okay, it's like this. There's a machlokes rishayim had to learn this gemara. Rashi seems to learn gemara kipshutai. And the gemara seems to be saying that to save your life, you cannot steal money. A person is sick. There is a certain specific drug that can save his life. The pharmacy is closed. So halacha would be, according to Rashi, if you want to go in, break in, steal the drug in order to save your life, Rashi, the way Rashi seems to learns the Gemara, the halacha seems to be that it's awesome. Aye, there are only three things that are oimid b'fnei pikuach nefesh. So there's actually the Yerushalmi that discusses the concept of gimel dvarim and shvichas damim. So in shvichas damim, the Gemara says not only in Yerushalmi, not only is it true by shvichas damim, but also if a goy comes and says, "Go steal money from this yid, or I'll kill you," yaharig val yaver. Rashi seems to learn that there's a fourth. Not only does it apply to other yisurim, but gezel as well is yaharig val yaver. The Shittim Gubezis and Ksubis Dafchav in the Sugya of Anusim Ayinu, signing Eid Sheker, brings down a brisa that has a girsa that after it says the Gimel Dvarim, Rav Meir Oimer Af Gezel. That there is, according to him, there's a Shittas Rav Meir, a Tana that holds that Gezel is also Yehoreg Val Yadav. This is the Shitta of Rashi, according to the way most people understand Rashi. Taisus, on the other hand, argues. If you look at Taisus says the shayu was ma'u latzat mamon chaveri, iboile ichayiv l'sham kishitzel atmai b'pnei pikuach nefesh. Taisus said the question was not whether you can save yourself. Saving yourself, it's pasha you can save yourself. Pikuach nefesh, do what you need to do. The question is, after you burn it, in order to save your life, do you now can the owner send you a bill? Or can you say no? I had a chiv to go destroy this money, mipnei pikuach nefesh. Once it was mutter for me to do it, I'm potter. So no, the Taisus learns there's no question that you're allowed to do the damage. The issue is whether you have to pay afterwards. And in that, the Gemara says, you're chayiv. Although you're allowed to be matzlatz mamam chaveroi, you're allowed to go ahead and destroy it, but afterwards you have to pay your bill. Afterwards you have to pay for the damage that you caused. So we seem to have a tremendous machlokes Rashi and Taisus. According to Rashi, you cannot save yourself by stealing money. According to Taisus, you certainly could. You just have to pay back afterwards.
The hetzer is to save yourself. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to save yourself. There's no hetzer that's saying you have the world to your stealing. It's two separate things. You're saving yourself.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you were that you're potter on every halacha.
Rashi or Taisus? Rashi's saying, slow down. Who said you're allowed to protect yourself? Who said? It's a gezel. Taisus is saying you certainly could. The question is, you have to pay back. And the question in Taisus is, do we say once it's mutter, for example, we pointed out there's an isser stealing. There's also, even if you're stealing with the intention to pay back, you're also over the same isser gezel. If it's the same isser gezel, so perhaps once we're mater gezel, what's the difference between stealing with the intention of paying back or not paying back? Either way, it's gezel.
You're not saving yourself, but the gezel is still there. You have a hetzer. You have a dispensation to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to pay.
But once the stealing was beheter, the tzad is, since I was allowed to steal, I don't have the chiyuvim. Why do you have to return what was stolen? If it's it's not yours. Here you're paying back as a mazik. If it was mutter to do it, perhaps the Torah never made a chiyuv. Now, in halacha, you're right. Halacha, clearly, you have to pay back. But this is the Shita of Taisus. What does this have to do with harvesting organs? So the Binyan Tzion was asked, in a case of Sakonos Nefashos, there's a patient who's deathly ill. He needs a heart. Another person came in, he just died. Can I go ahead, can I take the limb from this person who just died and give it to this patient to save his life? Zok Binyan Tzion, this is a question of matzal atzmai mom chaver. You're stealing the eiver from this mace in order to be matzal echai. Hold on. Okay, good. We're going to have to go. This is more than 30 seconds worth of alumnus in this Binyan Tzion. But his basic point is, His basic point is, you're taking away something that belongs to the mace in order to save a chai. According to Rashi, you can't be matzah atzma mechaveret. According to Tosfos Lachor says it's mutter as long as you pay afterwards. Zog the binyan seen over here, even Tosfos agrees that it's awesome. Because the whole heter to be matzah atzma mechaveret is only when you take it with the intention you're going to pay back later. When you take away this limb, you're not paying it back later. You're not taking another limb and sticking it into the mace. I mean, not that we have teshlum in anyway. And therefore, the binyan... What? Therefore, Zog the binyan seein, since even Tosfos only agrees when your intent is to pay. But if you take it without the intent to pay, binyan seein says it would be aser, and therefore, repaskins halacha lemaisa, you cannot do any organ harvesting. Now, wait, there's obviously, it says a machlokes. If this shailach, Chas Shalom comes up over the next 7 days, please don't paskin before next week's shir. We'll get back to it. But this is... Good. Okay, good. We'll deal with the value.